This is the Freedom Fiends, broadcasting from the Intergalactic Prairie Studio Teaching Hospice. Yes, hospice, not hospital. I'm still sick. I've been sick with different things for four different months. For 4 months, I'm getting over strep throat. Seriously, it's hard to talk, man, but I don't stop doing radio. I keep the show going. I'm suffering for your art, for your entertainment and elucidation. My co-host today is Mr. Ben Stone, the Bad Quaker. Are you there, sir?
I'm there. Hey, Michael, good to talk to you again.
Hey, where are you now?
I am in, again, southern Alabama, moving from place to place, trying to, you know, a moving target is hard to hit, so we're just trying to stay out of the sights.
Yeah, well, I'm in my windowless bunker in a non-moving target, as usual, in Beast Lick, Wyoming, and I don't know, man, I think they got me with the government flu, but I don't care because, the fiends cannot be stopped, and we are the world's first distributed radio show that can be done from anywhere with basically no equipment and still sound great. And
with Fiendphone.
With Fiendphone. And it's not about the particular host. It's about the message. So the message today is the 12th step in Status Anonymous.
And hey, Michael, before we get in on that, I had a question for you that I always forget to ask you.
Yeah.
In that music in the intro that we just played a second ago, one of the phrases in there is uses the name Lucille. And I was curious if that was an actual person's name when you wrote that, or if you were just working on the blues tradition of using the name Lucille as the evil woman that breaks your heart or tempts you.
There's no name Lucille in that song. You're hearing it wrong.
Really?
Yeah. There's a list of women's names, and they're actual women's names. There's Vicky, Maggie, and Michelle. I think you may be hearing Michelle as Lucille.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's those youngsters.
Well, I was hearing into it.
It's those youngsters with, you know, that's me when I was 20-something. It's those youngsters with their rock and roll musical groups, and you can't understand anything they're saying. Now, I'm about to play a section of a song by my friends, the Landlords, who were my roommates in Virginia before I was in that band Bomb. And this is, I love this music, but this probably makes... musically, it probably makes the song we just heard. If you think that was hard to understand, this probably makes that sounds like the Beatles compared to this song. I'm going to play an excerpt of this. It's called "Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God," and it is by the hardcore punk rock band The Landlords, whose records were "Rock and Roll Without Rent Control" and what was the other one? "Hey, It's a Teenage House Party with the Landlords." Now, if this music sounds abrasive to you, realize I'm probably sterile because this band used to practice in the bedroom on the other side of a thin wall from me at full volume. Actually, I'm sterile because I got fixed because I'm responsible. But yeah, this stuff can like kill plants dead at 200 paces. Imagine hearing this in the next bedroom every night at 120 decibels. So I'm going to play this a little bit. Now, if you love this music, I'm going to put the whole song at the end of the podcast episode. But we're going to discuss the title of this and the lyrics of this. "Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God." All right, here we go.
Were it not for the sovereign pleasure of God, the earth would not bear you for one moment. The creature groans with you. The creature is made subject to the bondage of your corruption. For the mouth of God's wrath and the rain of on you, and the clouds are full of storm, and the blades of your white religion.
All right, I think that's enough. Ben, did you survive that?
I did. You know, I kind of like that kind of music. All things with
all things considered, you know, here on NPR. Yeah. No, I'm kidding.
No, you know, it's a lot of it. It has sort of overtones of Ozzy Osbourne's original band, Black Sabbath. But Black Sabbath sounds like Herman and the Hermits compared to that. You know, it's Mrs. Brown, you've got a lovely daughter.
Yes, this is like Black Sabbath played on 45, sort of, or 78. And sloppier.
33.
And sloppier.
That's a joke only.
Old
that's
people
a joke
get.
Only us old people get, right?
Yep. What is the title, Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God? And I believe the lyrics come from the sermon of that name. Talk about the sermon, Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God, which is one of our topics today leading into step 12, which step 12 of Status Anonymous is kind of the antidote to the attitude of sinners in the hands of an angry God. What is Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God, Ben?
Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God was a pivotal sermon in American Protestant religious circles. It was by a guy named Jonathan Edwards, and this
boo.
Was, I can't, yeah, boo. I can't remember the exact year that he came out with this, but it was probably around 1720. That's when he was at his peak. He was a Puritan. He was a slave owner. He was a member of the colonial elite. He was a statist of the absolute worst kind. And I'm saying all those things. When I say, a lot of people who are hearing me talk about these things for the first time, maybe, you need to realize when I say someone is a Puritan, I mean that in the most derogatory manner possible, because I have the lowest possible opinion of Puritans.
And you are a Christian, to be clear.
I am a Christian.
You're not some angry atheist going, and this is the worst kind of Christian. I hate Christian. No, you're saying you are a Christian and you think this is not Christianity, basically. You think it is antithetical to the loving Christ.
Yeah, the Puritans pretty much stood for everything that Christ stood against, and everything that Christ was against, the Puritans embraced. Statism, love of government, the desire to be in control, the desire to wear the kind of clothes that told everybody you were a Quaker. I'm sorry, not Quaker, Puritan. The Puritans demanded that different classes wear different kinds of clothes so that everyone would immediately know, you know, whether you were a worker, whether you were poor, whether you were an authority, whether you should be bowed to.
And kind they of like liked Hitler, people. Hitler and the armbands.
Very much, yeah. They wanted you to always tip your hat to anyone who was in the social order higher than you and remove your hat entirely if the person was high enough in the social order over
Puritans
you.
Puritans are the reason you have to take your hat off in court.
Yes,
in America.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And if you wouldn't, they would publicly beat you for the crime of not removing your hat in front of a
friend,
Puritan minister.
Our friend Ian Freeman went to jail for some time for not taking his hat off in court.
The sermon itself, Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God, basically portray a horrible, monstrous God that is not at all portrayed, you know, in a biblical setting or anything. It was it's the imagination of the Puritan mind. And it was super popular, and it really had a major influence on a lot of denominations in America, not just the United States, but in colonial America, and then that carried through. And it was such and when Edwards would go out and he would go around like a traveling minister.
Like a rock star.
Yeah, exactly. And he would go from town to town preaching this same sermon over and over. And it actually caused something called, and you can Google this, the suicide craze of 1735. So that tells you what year era that it was. People would hear his sermon, and it was so convicting to them. And you have to also understand that part of the theology that Jonathan Edwards embraced was determinism. Yeah. And what that means is that everything, every single thing, every flutter of every butterfly's wing, everything is completely and totally preordained, predestined, and controlled by the hand of God. And that means, and he believed this, the poor are poor because God is punishing them and God hates them. The powerful are powerful because God loves them and he's rewarding them. And slaves, and he believed this and he said this, so I'm not making, this is not just slander. He believed that slaves were slaves because God made them to be slaves.
Wow.
That is the depth of evil. I mean, that is so opposite of anything that Jesus would have stood for.
It's the depth of statism, too, because it's believing. You know, a lot of people who are statists now are agnostic or atheist, or, you know, they'll pretend to be religious when they're running for office. But I would say most of them are secular humanist, and secular humanist is not necessarily a bad thing. It's painted with a bad brush by people influenced by John Edwards. hey, wasn't there a politician named John Edwards who left in disgrace?
That's possible.
Yeah, I think he cheated on his
name
wife.
Rings. Yeah, you know, and Edwards was not an idiot. He was a very smart man. He entered Yale at the age of 12 and graduated with a doctorate degree as valedictorian, head of his class, at the age of 17. Wow. So this is not a dumb guy. This is a guy that was, you know, very talented, very intelligent, and intentionally a manipulator of crowds. Oh, I started to say the suicide craze. His belief was that you were either predetermined to go to heaven or you were predetermined to go to hell, and God hated you or loved you before your birth. And he would have these sermons, and people would be so moved that they would be convinced that God hated them and they had no chance of going to heaven, and they would literally commit suicide over it. He was eventually defrocked and forbidden from even expressing his views at any pulpit in the colonies. That's how, that was the impact that he had in his day.
Yeah. And I'm not saying that what I was saying about secular humanists, my problem with secular humanists are the ones who believe that they themselves are God or that the state is God. I mean, that would describe Barack Obama. Like my dad calls me and says, like, Barack Obama is a Muslim. And I'm like, no, he's not. He's a secular humanist who thinks he's God and government is God.
Yeah. If he were a Muslim, we'd probably be better off, because at least he would have some form of ethics.
Yeah. This song, Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God by my friends the Landlords, the singer in that band was gay. And I think that he did this song because he had gotten crap from the church for being gay. And the drummer in that band, Tristan, was the first libertarian I ever met when I was like, you know, 19 or something. He was a Libertarian Party member, but I'd never heard the concept. Pretty cool to me. So they did this song making fun of that kind of puritanical attitude. That's the point of that song. But I think the lyrics in it are all from the sermon. Some of them are, for sure. We'll be back after this trip to the flea market. It's not really free. It's not really the free market anymore. There's government involved. It's the flea market.
It's infected.
Flea markets can be fun.
You and Hamster in Your Brain are listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and his weird friends.
Hey, this is Nathan Explosion from Death Clock, and you're listening to Freedom Fiends on the radio. Worms.
Are you tired of your taxes funding endless occupations around the world? Antiwar.com is run by people who understand that wars abroad become wars at home, wars on our freedoms. Antiwar.com is dedicated to bringing you the latest in news, views, interviews, and reviews from the top movers and shakers in the anti-occupation movement. Antiwar.com has it all, from thorough foreign policy analysis to interviews with whistleblowers who used to run the military-industrial complex. Anti-war, pro-free market. That's antiwar.com.
If you want to get past this,
as long as you want, man.
Okay.
Preach it, brother Ben. So we are talking on the Freedom Fiends. Myself, Michael W. Dean, and Ben Stone, the Bad Quaker. We're talking about Jonathan Edwards. No, not John Edwards, the Democratic candidate for vice president under Kerry, who left in disgrace after an extramarital affair. Not the current, existing now on this planet, Democrat from South Carolina. No, we're talking about another East Coaster, Jonathan Edwards, the very Reverend Jonathan Edwards, from the British colonies. In 1741, he wrote something called Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God, and he went up and down the coast torturing people with it and driving them to suicide in the name of God. We think it's horrible, and we think he's horrible, and we think that kind of Christianity is not Christianity, and we believe in a loving God, if any.
Yeah, Jonathan Edwards makes you want to spit on the ground and wash your hands.
Yes.
His writings were actually really
popular. Well,
you can,
because there's a monument in Enfield, Connecticut, commemorating the location where the sermon was preached. It's a rock. It's carved in stone. It must be important.
Ugh. his writings were influential and were very popular with progressives around 1900.
Liberals.
And they specifically, liberals. Yeah. Yeah, specifically ones who were supported eugenics. And a lot of the stuff that he taught were used to justify eugenics. And if any of the listeners are like, what is eugenics?
We're used to justify again, eugenics. Wow.
Yeah. Again, look that up. Go do a Google on eugenics. It's a disgusting idea that some human beings should be exterminated because they're not worthy to live.
It's Hitler.
It's kind of where, yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
and it was very popular in the U.S.
I have asthma. I have pretty bad asthma. I would be killed under most broad eugenics programs. I would have been killed as a child.
Yeah, they actually believe that the unhealthy children should be put to death. They believe that. They believe that, you know, inferior races, it was okay to, like, do medical experiments. This is where we get the Tuskegee experiments from that that train of thought that comes from eugenics. And, you know, really the life of Jonathan Edwards shows us, and this kind of takes us into what we're talking about today, but the life of Jonathan Edwards shows us that statism is harmful not only to individuals, but to whole societies. Because the things that Jonathan Edwards taught caused some of the worst aspects of American society to develop. And you know, we're on Freedom Fiends, and I hate to speak collectively of other people, but we don't hate America. We love America. We're not talking about, you know, America that's bad or anything like that. It's just that we're very realistic. And when we see things that are wrong, we are unafraid to speak out and say what's right. That's kind of a, you know, we do it on the Freedom Fiends all the time, but that's an old Quaker tenet. Is speaking truth to power, to be honest and consistent and not be afraid to look right into the hands of authority, right into the eyes of authority, or right into the fist of authority and speak the truth. Speaking the truth to power is a Quaker tradition that literally goes back into the 1600s. And in often cases, it got Quakers burned at the stake, especially when they spoke that truth to Puritans like Jonathan Edwards.
And his descendants and those influenced by him. Yeah.
That's my little rant. Hopefully I'm not taking it too far into a pro-Quaker, anti-Puritan
preach
direction.
It, Brother Ben. I got to correct you, though. I love America, but I also love Europe, many countries, many places in Europe. And I would say anybody who thinks that that is a wrong statement has probably never traveled much, unless it was, you know, to go to Europe and kill Nazis or something.
I love Antarctica, and I've never been there.
I love New Hampshire, and I've spent a lot of time there, but I'm not moving there this week, that's for sure.
As crazy as this may sound, this is totally off all topics, but as crazy as this may sound, I seriously contemplated attempting to be the first person to ride a Harley-Davidson motorcycle to the South Pole. I actually thought it through, looked at the possibilities, and came up with the conclusion that I could do it. This was late 90s. And I even had the motorcycle that I was convinced could do it, because at the time I was riding 30 miles to work and 30 miles home every day, no matter what the weather was in Ohio, where we would have like 0 degree days.
There's no land bridge to the South Pole.
You're thinking of North Pole. On the South Pole, there is. It's a land the whole way.
No,
but it's under like 2 miles of snow.
Yeah, the South Pole is land. The North Pole is ice. But the South Pole, there's no bridge going to it. You said you were going to ride to it.
Oh, no, right.
Or do you mean ride across it?
No, you'd have to start like at the Ross Ice Shelf somewhere.
Oh, okay. I thought you meant you were going to ride there from Alabama.
No.
That's a pretty magical bike, man. Two old men arguing on the radio over the...
About Antarctica.
The parts of speech they use correctly. We'll be back. It's the Grandpa Butt Dial Show.
Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean. This is what radio sounds like now.
This is Michael Dean from the Freedom Fiends. I've been using Block It Pocket and I love it. Block It Pocket protects your cell phone, tablet, or laptop from remote tracking and data theft. I've tested it. It works. Put your cell phone inside, call from another phone, and the phone in the Block It Pocket won't ring because all signals in and out are blocked. Avoid calls and texts at the wrong moment. Keep your location private. Protect passports and credit cards. Water-resistant, hand-washable, and stylish in many designs. Go to blockitpocket.com. That's blockitpocket.com. Fun. So, Ben.
Michael.
Was this Jonathan Edwards, Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God guy, was he a pilgrim or related to the pilgrim somehow?
Usually when you think of pilgrims, you're thinking specifically, although the word can be used in a variety of different ways, it can reference anyone who is just traveling and moving around can be a pilgrim. But typically when Americans think of the
Muslim pilgrims,
word,
and there are Christian pilgrims, and there are Christian pilgrims who would not like Jonathan Edwards. I would say you are a Christian pilgrim in a way. You travel and you're searching.
Yeah, very much. Yeah. And I'm kind of on a Christian pilgrimage in the sense that, I'm always seeking truth.
But you're not a pilgrim with a capital P.
Right. Most of the time when people in America think of pilgrims, they think of the people who landed on Plymouth Rock and they had those funny hats and the weird collars and the giant buckles on their shoes.
America loves, I would say all nations probably, but I just know America firsthand. Americans love these little stories that have some basis in truth that basically have, they especially like them if there's costumes that you can imitate them with, or things that you can do that are easy, like having a kid put his hand on paper and trace it and make a turkey of it. They love these little stories that are simplified and mixed with lies to the point where everyone who ever lived in America in the past was a hero. And you can tell the story to a five-year-old and make them swell with pride without knowing anything about what they're talking about.
Yeah, I call that cartoon history or Forrest Gump history.
Yeah.
And that's really what most Americans believe about the pilgrims or the Puritans, is really a cartoonized version of history where all the people are cartoonish. None of them have the real problems that human beings really have, the warts and sunburns and things that humans really face in life. They don't think of any of those things. They think of, the happy pilgrims holding hands and the Indians coming down and showing them how to grow corn, and everybody sat around and ate turkey and everything was happy. And, nothing
that
could
was,
be
that
further
was the,
from the
well,
truth.
Well, that happened. I mean, there's a really funny thing on King of the Hill where Bobby Hill is asking his Native American friend, John Redcorn, "Do Indians celebrate Thanksgiving, John Redcorn?" And he says, "We did once." I can't do his accent, but he said, "We did once," which is true. And the next year, the pilgrims came back and murdered the Indians and took their food.
Yeah, and this kind of wraps back around to John Edwards, because Jonathan Edwards, not the politician, the theologian. Jonathan Edwards, I mentioned this before, believed in determinism. And an aspect of that, one of the things, and this actually blends into eugenics as well, one of the things that was really popular among the Puritans was to, if you had somebody who had smallpox, then you would take blankets to them and you would wrap them in alternate between one blanket to the next until you had inoculated blankets with smallpox, and you would do this intentionally. And then you would distribute the blankets to the poor, and most people know that there were some white people in the colonies that distributed smallpox blankets to the Indians, but most Americans don't realize that the Puritans did this to white poor people living in cities like Boston. They did it because they believed that the poor people should be exterminated. And so they, in their justification of what they were doing, they were putting this into the hands of God. Okay, we're not going to be the ones who kill these poor people, but we will give them blankets that have been inoculated with smallpox so that God can kill them.
Wow.
Or we would, they would justify it like that in their mind. We are giving these blankets to these dirty Indians because they're ungodly, and now we're allowing God to kill them. And they believe they were doing God's work in doing this. Now, what kind of a horrible God would even what, you know, I don't even want to go that direction. So that's one of the, that's actually what killed Jonathan Edwards. He believed this so much that he believed that if he himself used a inoculated blanket like that, that God would spare him and prove
he was like
that
a
God
snake charmer.
Him.
Like the
yeah,
snake
exactly.
Charmers. Yeah. Probably citing yeah. the same, maybe the same passage about surviving poisons.
I wouldn't doubt it. I'm not aware that he actually did that, but I could definitely see that that would be the kind of thing that he would do. And so that's how he died. He died of smallpox because in proving his theory, he used an inoculated blanket on himself to prove that God loved him and that God would spare him and save him. And evidently, well, I don't want to go in that direction, but he died. So we can make our, you know, if we judge him according to his own words, he failed the test.
Wow.
But, you know, that's the twisted way that when it comes to eugenics and it comes to, you know, the progressives and the way that they think and the way that this polluted American Christian, not all American Christianity, but large portions of American Christianity, so many you know, preachers and theologians and others have been influenced by Jonathan Edwards and by his sermon, Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God. It's just amazing how much of an influence that has had on American Christianity. And so many of these people have no idea what the backstory to it is. And the backstory is that you have a very intelligent but a very twisted man who deeply believed in a stratified society where the elite were in charge and on top, and their dictates were to be enforced upon all those below them all the way to the point of death for minor infractions or for anything that didn't you know, adhere to their theologies and their beliefs. And that's the pure, that is statism taken to its absolute ultimate end. And that's what Puritanism was. The Puritans in England prior to being, you know, running away from England to try to find a new place to live in the New World, they actually started a revolution in England to overthrow the king and overthrow Parliament. And they did overthrow the king and they did overthrow Parliament, you know, through a horrible, bloody revolution that they also took into Ireland and bled over into Ireland and all over Scotland. And it was a horrible thing. And that was the Puritans. And of course, there were other political groups and religious groups that took advantage of the upheaval at the same time. And there really were no good guys in that whole English Revolution. But that's how the Puritans ended up losing favor in England and having to flee England and come to Massachusetts. And even that story, you know, they were they had made a contract. They had secured funding in a contract, and they were supposed to go to Virginia, to the colony in Virginia, and work there as indentured servants on a colony in Virginia. But before they actually made landfall in Virginia, the Puritans took over the ship at gunpoint, because Puritans like to be the ones who have guns, but they had originally, when they got on the Mayflower, they outlawed anybody else having a gun other than the Puritans or the captain of the ship and his small group of men that would side with the Puritans when the time came. So the Puritans love to disarm people, but they themselves will not be disarmed. And so they brought the, you know, this whole ship full of people, and the Puritans were a minority on that ship, the Mayflower. They brought it to the coast of Virginia. Then they took over the ship by force of arms, sailed north to off the coast of Massachusetts, which was not an authorized colony time. So they literally broke the contract. They lied to the people that had paid for their journey, and they broke the contract with them. They kidnapped the people that were on the ship at gunpoint, forced them to sign the Mayflower Compact before they would let them off the ship onto dry land, and then forced them to sign new indentured servant documents with the Puritans as the owners of all those other people that had been on the ship. Now, that's not the kind of story you're going to hear in the third grade at government schools where you're all, you know, using your hands to trace turkeys. That's not the story they're going to tell you. They're going to, you know, everybody's going to be holding hands and singing songs. But the Puritans, when they landed, then they set up a socialist community, very much like the Soviet Union, with an elite in control that got all the luxuries. In Massachusetts. That's what the Plymouth Colony was. And they set up this socialist little community that almost starved to death until they eventually had to reject socialism and then adapt certain capitalist aspects in order, you know, just to survive, because they literally were starving to death. Because socialism is a system that guarantees shortages. It's a boom and bust system that guarantees that there's going to be shortages of critical things and an overabundance of stuff that you don't really need that much. That's what socialism does. So that's a long rant that we're not talking about the steps of Status Anonymous.
But we're talking about the antithesis of Status Anonymous, about somebody who probably wouldn't have even benefited from it. He probably would have outlawed it and shot it and thrown us in prison for bringing it up. The idea that you don't need leaders and you don't need kings and you don't need wise, great men to tell you what to do. You know, it just blows my mind how that story, you know, the truth that you just told is so diametrically opposed to the lies that you're told in high school. And, you know, like, it's so ingrained in people. Like, my dad, for instance, small government Republican, believes in the Constitution, believes in the right to keep and bear arms, believes in free speech. he loves the story of the Pilgrims. And if I've tried to tell him what you just told him, and it harms him. And I just have to stop, because he doesn't want to hear that. And he's a good man. He's a good American. And if you try to tell him the truth about history, it harms him, man. It almost makes him cry. You know, you have to stop. And that's what we're up against.
You know, people like your dad, and I'm not saying this in a derogatory way, but my dad was to a large extent the same way. But people like that have so much of their life invested in these beliefs that if you start to take one thing away, that it starts to shake everything that they hold dear. Because, you know, so many of these thoughts are interconnected. And if you start to take away one thing that they deeply believe, then there's a fear that you're going to take away something else that they deeply believe. And that's, you know, it's a casting event that they really don't want to see happen.
True. Yeah, when I told him I quit voting, it really hurt him. He was like, but that's your most important right as an American. To choose one tyrant or another? No, I think not.
You're listening to The Freedom Fiends, an invigorating alternative to those other shows.
Hey, this is Squisgar Squiggles from Death Clocks, and you are listening to The Freedom Fiends on the, you know, the radios. And I guess I says worms now, so there you go.
You've read books, attended lectures, and you know the Constitution well enough to know it's a well-crafted blueprint to create an ever-increasing federal empire. But there's still one thing missing.
Buttons!
Freedom Fiends now has buttons. You'll get state speech is hate speech, guns and weed, buy sheep for sheep on sheep, and two designs for the Freedom Fiends. Wear them with pride. Use them to start conversations with statists.
It's only $10 for 10 buttons, including shipping.
Go to freedomfiends.com and click on the link at the top that says buttons.
What does freedom mean? Tune in to LRN.FM to find out. LRN.FM is the Liberty Radio Network, a collection of live talk radio and podcasts, all coming from a principled pro-liberty perspective. LRN.FM show hosts aren't left, right, or conspiracy kooks. You can tune in 24/7 to LRN.FM via your phone, computer, satellite, and more. Listen free anytime at LRN.FM. That's LRN.FM.
Is your child defiant, independent, annoyingly inquisitive? After a long, hard day of following the rules, who wants to deal with troublesome kids? 49% of children suffer from oppositional defiant disorder, or ODD. Symptoms of ODD include independent thought, rampant creativity, and failure to submit to authority. But now there's a solution. The good people at Pilfer can help you with their time-release, once-daily capsule, Compliacin. Your child won't be able to form his own opinions, let alone express them. It maintains your child's ability to go to a state-run school and perform simple tasks around the house. You won't have to worry about parenting, and the school won't have to deal with your kid asking questions. Compliacin. You'll go from this. To this.
Good morning, Mother. I love going to school. And this week we're learning all about how the government is our federal family and they're here to help us.
Compliacin. Talk to your school psychiatrist and ask for it by name.
Freedom Fiends. Ben Stone, the Bad Quaker, is schooling us on the sinners in the hands of an angry God mentality of the early American, I wouldn't even say settlers, I'd say, empire builders, interlopers. Yeah. You know, I tell this story a lot about how I was a bike messenger and in San Francisco for 3 or 4 years in the 80s and 90s. And my dispatcher, you know, the guy who'd call us up on our walkie-talkies and tell us what to pick up and where to take it, was a Native American guy. And I remember one time there was interference all the time because we were on the same frequency as some construction crew over in the East Bay, and we'd step on each other all the time, so by accident. So he was like, all right, 715, that was me. He's like, 715, go to One Maritime on the 15th floor, pick up a package from Louise going to Kathy on the first floor of 250. And I was like, 10-9 on the drop off there. I didn't hear it. And he's like, yeah, it's 250. And I was like, again, please, 10-9. I did not get the 10 on the 20 on the drop off. And he's like, 250 Columbus, 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 like the guy who brought all you people over here. And then I got it. So, yeah. Columbus was a rapist and a murderer and a torturer and a thief. But that's a whole nother episode, right, Ben?
Yeah, it is. And just so that we're not shocking people too bad here, what we're talking about is historical revisionism, which has kind of gotten a bad rap because liberals have had a tendency to use that phrase in order to go back and say, America's bad because, and then they twist, you know, their version of history. But what we're talking about really is looking at history, like I said before, with all the warts, not lying to yourself, not lying to your children about what it was like, and realizing that humans make mistakes. And there were people in the past who were not perfect. And some of those people did amazing things, both positive and negative. But to be truthful and to be honest and to look back into history, not with, you know, rose-colored glasses so that we can only believe what we can be comfortable and be happy believing, but looking back in history with realism and truth and saying, I want to know what really happened. And when you do that, you get a whole different view of some of these people. You know, you mentioned Columbus not long ago. I don't know, it's been a week or two. I can't remember exactly, but over at LouRockwell.com, they had an interview with Jesse Ventura. And Jesse Ventura was off on one of his rants, and he said something about, you know, Christopher Columbus discovered United States. And I about jumped out of my skin. I'm like, no, he did not discover the United States. The United States is a particular political body centered with a government in Washington, D.C. Christopher Columbus discovered a series of islands, you know, in what are now called the West Indies. He never set foot on the main continent. And I mean, there's just so many things wrong with a statement like that. But that's indicative of how people in America tend to remember history. It's what I've referred to in the past as Forrest Gump history. It's like remembering a few tiny little details of the past with no reason connected to them. And then, you know, like for Forrest Gump, meaning that like when he recalled how the Kennedy assassinations took place, he says, well, that man was riding in his car one day and somebody shot him, and then later on, they shot his brother. That must be hard having a brother. And this is Forrest Gump mentality, and it's how so many Americans think about history. The actual incidents of history, they don't investigate why. They don't want to know why. They'll just accept the myth that the, you know, that history books and that the schools, that the government schools teach them, and they'll accept the myth that mainstream news media teaches them. And they never connect the dots, and they don't want to connect the dots, because if the day ever comes that they have to really think about these things, then they're going to have to rethink a lot of things. Like, for instance, why are you paying taxes? What is tax? How is it that some people have the ability or the right to say, yes, you can only keep 30% of your labor or 70% of your labor or 40% of your labor, and we, the government, own the rest of your labor? Where does that kind of mentality come from?
Without the government, who would teach the children how wonderful the Puritans were? Hey, I think that we should have a campaign. I think Puritan should become a new cuss word for statists, whether they're left or right. I think like, we usually call them square. Everyone's homework assignment is to go out and call a statist a Puritan to their face, and then email us about it or comment on the podcast. All right, it's Freedom Fiends.
We're back. Don't talk about Fight Club, though.
Don't talk about it. Worms.
Worms.
Are you sick of government lackeys who say, you didn't build that? Are you tired of elitists like Barack Obama and Al Gore taking credit for the web while trying to take over the web? Are you disgusted by experts whose concept of the internet is that it's a series of tubes? Take back the free market of computing by encouraging software developers to adopt the BIPCOT NoGov license. The BIPCOT NoGov license allows any use or modification except by governments. Go to BIPCOT.org. That's Bravo, India, Papa, Charlie, Oscar, Tango.org.
LRN.FM needs your help getting our satellite signal back on in Africa. Our satellite provider had us on at no charge from 2012 through February of this year when they pulled the channel off the air. Now we're trying to raise $22,000 to continue reaching people with the message of liberty in places where it's needed most. Please visit our Indiegogo fundraiser at africa.lrn.fm. Give what you can and share the link with your friends. africa.lrn.fm.
Appreciate it.
No problem.
Freedom Fiends. Broadcasting from... Well, we're just standing here dancing and spitting on Plymouth Rock because it is the source of a lot of the tyranny we're feeling in America today. If you missed hour one, myself, Michael Dean, and my co-host, Ben Stone, talked about Jonathan Edwards, the Puritan who ruined America before there was even a thing called the United States. And we're carrying this over into hour two, which is part 12 of our 12-part series, the 12 steps of Statist Anonymous. We're doing the steps. Next, we'll be going into the traditions next week, and then the concepts of world service. And I kind of like the traditions more than the steps. They're more fun, but we've had a lot of fun with the steps. And Statist Anonymous is a 12-step fellowship Ben and I invented for getting away from statism, the disease of loving the state, of thinking people need to be controlled, not only thinking you need to be controlled, but you thinking I need to be controlled by nanny laws and enforcers with guns to your head and the threat of a cage. So, Ben, let's talk about step 12 in Statist Anonymous, getting rid of the love of the state and the love of bad ideas and bad people. Go ahead, brother.
So step 12 in Alcoholics Anonymous goes like this. Having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to alcoholics and to practice these principles in all our affairs. And so we're adapting these things to Statist Anonymous. So you can look at this as, you know, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to statists and to practice these principles in all our affairs.
You know,
and there's really a joy in living with a state-free life. Go ahead, Michael.
Something kind of funny. Most 12-step fellowships pretty much adopt the same term and just put in whatever their problem is instead of alcoholics there. But, Sex and Love Addicts Anonymous changes practice these principles in all our affairs to practice these principles in all areas of our life. And I'm not kidding. That's true. So go on.
They don't want to mention the affairs.
Yeah.
Oh, I shouldn't make light of that. If people have serious problems and I have an inappropriate sense of humor anyway. I laugh at really weird times and including here's an oddity that jumps way back in the Wayback Machine to us talking about my brain damage. If I eat food that's seriously hot, I break into laughter and it's uncontrolled laughter. It's a response to, you know, really, really high levels of capsaicin,
I think is the pronunciation. I don't know.
Yeah. Anyway, it's uncontrollable laughter that comes in from high levels of pain associated with hot foods. That's just a weird side note there on the Freedom Fiends for you folks.
But that doesn't explain why. I mean, that joke was funny. You don't need an excuse for that one. That was a funny joke. It's true, though, too. In all areas of our lives. Okay, so why don't you read the step 12 again as it is in Status Anonymous?
As it is in Alcoholics Anonymous?
In Status Anonymous. Fix it. You already said it in AA. Say how we say it. Fix it the way we're doing it.
Having had a spiritual awakening as the results of these steps, we tried to carry this message to statists and to practice these principles in all our affairs.
Yeah, it can be hard, man. A lot of them will punch you in the nose for trying to free them.
Yeah, and it's a three steps forward, two steps back thing too. Sometimes we fall backwards a step or two and have to sort of reevaluate ourselves and take another couple steps forward. It's not easy sometimes. And sometimes you just get the urge to pop somebody. Sometimes you just feel like throwing the non-aggression principle to the ground. And, you know, I said it this way. Well, I can't exactly say how I said it, but I said one time, sometimes a Quaker has to just roll up his sleeves and kick some.
Yeah, we call that, here on the Fiends, we call that bloody nose libertarianism. And it's controversial. There's people who think we're not libertarians because we believe that sometimes that's the appropriate response. But it's funny because the people who condemn us for that talk all day long about when they're going to shoot people with the guns they carry all the time. They fantasize about it. They fetishize it, I think. But, sometimes that's not the appropriate, that would be escalating by far. Sometimes the appropriate response is to punch somebody in the nose. And I think if there was more punching in the nose, there'd be less murder in the world sometimes. There'd certainly be less bad people in organizations like Liberty Groups that let people just hang out and do whatever they want. Although I gotta say that some of the Free State people got together and actually did some real shunning with those that Damon and Ashley people who showed up, but doxed them back. They were doxers and they doxed them back and warned others about them. Although they had some help from somebody outside of New Hampshire. That's all I know. Okay, so go ahead.
Yeah, I heard about that a little bit. But, you know, I've spent quite a bit of time around bikers and some people that most of society are going to consider questionable or maybe even evil. But the wonderful thing about groups of bikers is that, A, their association is entirely voluntary. There's a TV show that I didn't watch specifically because I didn't want to be disappointed called Sons of Anarchy. But in all actuality, all biker groups are anarchy in action. Whether they're a violent biker gang that sells drugs or whatever is not the point. All biker associations are anarchy. It's where people voluntarily get together. They have something that unites them, something that they, some commonness that they can feel good about and work together around. And they voluntarily associate with one another. And they will very quickly purge out from among them any undesirables who cause trouble or who bring unnecessary attention to the group or do anything to break the basic codes that they live by. And I think, all other levels of anarchists can learn a lot from that because they don't tolerate a lot of nonsense. And they don't, I've been around bikers where like everybody there was armed to the teeth and pretty much all of them had the reputation that they weren't afraid to use their, you know, their physical abilities to initiate aggression if they needed to. And yet, you know, there were no fights. Nobody initiated aggression because everybody understood that everybody else was there, was armed. And you follow some basic rules, like you don't put your eyes upon somebody else's property or, you know, their bike or their woman or their man or whatever. You just follow those basic rules. And as long as you do that, everybody's fine and everybody can do their own thing. It's when you cross those lines that things start to happen bad. And I think liberty people can learn a lot from that kind of a thing. Yeah, but, you know, going back to Jonathan, getting back to our primary topic and not just some crazy old biker wandering, start talking about riding to the South Pole again.
Yeah.
But Jonathan Edwards, you know, we were talking about him in the first hour, and the Puritans as a whole, and Jonathan Edwards, and another one of my favorite evils was a guy named Cotton Mather, and his father, and he was actually, I think he was something like the great grandfather-in-law or something like that of Jonathan Edwards. I can't remember.
Well,
the
Jonathan Edwards was related to Aaron Burr too somehow. I think by marriage.
Yeah, he was. He was the grandfather. Yeah.
Yeah.
Grandfather of Aaron Burr, which Aaron Burr. Aaron Burr is the guy who shot Alexander Hamilton.
So he's not all bad.
So, yeah, good for him. I've said this before, the only bad thing about Aaron Burr is that it took him, you know, 30 years too long to shoot Alexander Hamilton.
And Alexander Hamilton was, when Americans venerate the founding fathers, they don't really understand that they weren't a homogenous group. And there were some that were really horrible, more horrible than others. And Alexander Hamilton was largely responsible for the federal Leviathan we have right now. You can blame him. Him and George Washington.
He was. Hamilton was one of the people that wrote the so-called Federalist Papers. He and a couple other of his lawyer and banker buddies were the ones that pushed that through. And to get a better idea of what the true founding fathers were like, read the Anti-Federalist Papers. They're the ones that the guys had to write anonymously because they knew that if they came out publicly and said that stuff, people like Alexander Hamilton would hunt them down and kill them.
Yeah.
So Hamilton was willing to say his stuff out in the open because he was a tyrant, but the people who spoke against him had to do it secretly and send, you know, private secret messages back and forth with private writers to try to communicate. Because if they had communicated openly, guys like Hamilton and Washington and Adams and those guys would literally kill him. They'd put him to death.
Yeah.
They were nasty. But yeah, Hamilton, it was Boston Tea Party that called them the founding lawyers, yeah, wasn't it?
In his book,
Hologram of Liberty.
Yeah, which we recommend. All right, so going back to the 12th step of Status Anonymous, let's actually do it. We've been having a lot of fun with all tangents all the time here, which is kind of what the Freedom Fiends do, but let's talk about giving back, which is what this 12th step is all about. You know, I do want to make a correction on a previous step. When we talked about making amends, did we actually mention the concept of that you shouldn't make the amends you think you need to make to the person? You should ask the person what amends they would like you to make and then see if it's within your ability.
I think we touched it, but I think you just said it clearer.
Okay.
So whether we said it or not, that's worth repeating.
Well, there it is. All right. So let's talk about giving back, which is what the 12th step is. You know, basically, and I think it's the 12th step is one reason that people say that 12-step fellowships are culty, because the culmination of it is go forth and spread our message to the multitudes. But the idea of the 12th step in AA and in Status Anonymous is that you can't stay sober in AA, or you can't stay sane and sober in AA without helping other people, without giving back. If you just, you know, use AA to get sober and then... Now, I've actually heard people say, like some kind of Jonathan Edwards type people in AA, say that if you go to AA and you don't give back and get very involved in AA service, you're stealing, which is ridiculous because it's not, it's a voluntary thing. And, you know, it's given as a gift to people who go. And 12-step service, reaching out to the newcomer, if you're the newcomer, the person's doing it, they're basically doing it to help themselves. It's kind of selfish in a way, but it's kind of selfless in a way too, because it is, really, that's the basis of AA, is helping the other alcoholic and thereby helping yourself. It gets your mind off your problems. It's hard to worry about your problems when you're helping someone else with their problems. That's kind of the basis of it. We'll be back.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends. So much truth, it hurts.
This show survives on donations from fiends like you. We put that money back into our show and Liberty Outreach and donate most our ad space to Liberty organizations that make a difference. We're also a teaching hospital, educating the next generation of Liberty talkers on the skills needed to keep the radio flame of truth burning into the future. Put your money where your heart is and make a donation of any amount to the Freedom Fiends. Please go to freedomfiends.com and click on the spinning coin on any post.
Freedom Fiends. Yeah. We're talking about service. We're talking about giving back. We're talking about giving of yourself without expecting anything in return. That is the 12th step of Status Anonymous. And here to tell you about the 12th step of Status Anonymous is Ben Stone, the Bad Quaker. Take it, Ben.
Hey, Michael. Yeah, you know, we were talking about...
I did my best Barnum and Bailey intro, and then you're kind of like, hi, boys and girls. But that's how we roll in the Freedom Fiends. It's all up and down all the time.
Yeah.
And I'm sick as a dog. I'm sick as a sick dog. And I'm suffering because I want to give back. So, we can play repeats. I can always have them throw on a repeat and not do a live show. I can do it and not suffer in any way. The ads still play. It's all good. But I don't want to do that. I want to do the best I can. If I can speak, I'm doing a show. All right. So take it, Ben.
So there's a reward to carrying this message and giving it to others. And we're talking about, we're using the 12 steps of Alcoholics Anonymous and adapting those to the 12 steps of Status Anonymous. And there's really a reward in sharing what we've learned and in sharing this expression, this spirit. It really is a spiritual awakening to understand all of a sudden that you don't have to depend on government to solve all your problems. You don't have to depend on great men to come and, you know, fix all the problems with government. It's not going to be the next, you know, whoever, the next Rand Paul, the next Ted Cruz, the next Hillary Clinton, the next whoever the next socialist is.
It's going to be you, man. It's going to be the listener. You can do more for the world than any of those people can do. And I don't mean by getting involved in politics. That's harming people. You know, I was thinking about that. I was thinking about, like, how, if you think of the children, don't get involved with politics, because you are harming children by becoming involved in politics in any way, and you are setting a bad example for the children. I will say this. I'm not a fan of welfare. I pretty much hate the idea of my money being stolen and given to other people. But a person on welfare smoking pot and watching their flat screen TV they bought with their welfare money, not leaving their apartment, is doing more for the world than any politician or anyone who works for a politician or anyone who supports a politician or anyone who says, we need politics to restore the Constitution. I'll say it. I said it. There you go.
And that is the spiritual awakening we're talking about.
Yeah.
The moment that this really dawns on you that that's what the truth is. You know, it's eye-opening. It's so overwhelming that there's there's this thing that we call newly minted libertarians.
Yeah.
Who catch the vision of this for the first time.
They're full of the religion.
It's so overwhelming.
They're like religious people. Yeah.
Yeah, and they get obnoxious. They can get downright obnoxious, especially on the internet, pushing the libertarian view and pushing what we're talking about. And some old guys like us will kind of sit back and wink at each other and kind of nudge each other in the ribs and go, newly minted libertarian, you know, because they're so over enthusiastic.
Oh, it's like that in AA. It's like that in AA too. People who are newly sober in AA, they're like proselytizers, and they're often people who recently get sober or clean off drugs in AA or NA. They're said to be on a pink cloud, which is like they seem like manically happy all the time. And they say in AA, There's an old timer saying, it's not in the book, but it's a saying I've heard around meetings. If you're on a pink cloud, you better get yourself a pink parachute. And what that means is that doesn't end. I mean, that ends. It doesn't sustain forever. It's just suddenly you're not poisoning yourself all the time. And you have a fellowship of people, whereas you've probably driven everyone out of your life using drugs and drinking. So suddenly everything seems wonderful and new, like as to a child. But you need to get some recovery under your belt, because that's going to end. It doesn't last forever. And I think the same thing would be true in Status Anonymous of, if you're a newly minted libertarian, you better get some understanding of how the world works and some understanding of economics, and also just the futility of trying to be involved in actual politics and backing politicians or the less of two evils, one over the other.
Yeah, and it is amazing sometimes to watch that transition take place between a statist to a state-free person. It's really interesting to watch it, but that is the case so often that the person will become almost inebriated, is that
yeah.
the right word?
With drunk liberty? On recovery, drunk on liberty.
Yeah. But there is a reward to doing this. I should mention this before we go to our next segment, that there is a reward to sharing this message, and that's why the Freedom Fiends do what we do. We're not here doing it for money. None of us are making a big amount of money off of this. Nobody's getting rich. We're doing this because it's a burning thing in our heart, and it's our responsibility to share this message with other people.
And it burns your heart. You had a heart attack and started. We're doing shows a few weeks after. You're in the hospital. We do this no matter what, man. It's a mission.
You're listening to the Freedom Fiends, and I'm beaming these words into your cerebellum. The Central Scrutinizer is a Soviet-style Leviathan trying to keep track of all you do. That's why I use a VPN, or virtual private network, from Bola VPN. Bola VPN is inexpensive, secure, and will allow you to use your computer without leaving a trail. Bola VPN is now also offering torrent seed boxes for safely sharing media with the world. And if you open a support ticket saying you heard about them from the Freedom Fiends, they'll add 3 extra days free. That's Bola VPN at BOLEHVPN.net.
Freedom Fiends, Freedom Fiends, Freedom Fiends, Freedom Fiends. This is Michael Dean and Ben Stone talking about the 13th step in Status Anonymous. No, we're kidding. 13th step is in AA when they say when you're finished 12 steps and you... It basically means sleeping with newcomers, and it's not recommended. Although, you know, there were people in the big book of AA who did that. Like a guy, there's a story in the AA big book. One of the stories, the canon of AA, is a guy who was in AA for a couple years, and one of the first women ever to be in AA in the 30s came in, and he immediately started dating her and sponsoring her and married her. So literally the 13th step is in the AA book. They just don't call it that. And we're not going to really discuss the 13th step of Status Anonymous because I would just say if you're not predatory, being with somebody can be a mentoring situation. And, maybe you'll take someone under your wing and help them in a way you wouldn't otherwise if they were of the sex that you are or the, whatever sex you don't like to mate with. Whatever you do, just be kind. Be kind and treat people like you'd treat your own family. But hopefully you're not sleeping with your own family. All right, so we're going to go back to step 12 of Status Anonymous. We do want to mention that Ben Stone, the Bad Quaker, my co-host today, has recently semi-retired. He's retired his Bad Quaker podcast. And Sean Diwali, the Freedom Fiends torrent master, is putting it all up on the torrents. And if you go to freedomfiends.com and click on the Torrent Club link over on the right, there's another Torrent RSS feed now in there, not just the archived Fiends ones and the current Fiends ones, but there's also a Bad Quaker one, which I strongly suggest that everybody torrent, if you're already torrenting stuff, and seed. And if you don't know what that is, read the article there on the Torrent Club link on the Freedom Fiends about what torrenting is. It's basically fiend sourcing your computing power and internet bandwidth when you're not using it, when you're asleep or at work, to help share the fiends and keep us drone proof. So like if our websites get taken down and we get murdered by the government flu, it's still out there and a lot of people are sharing it and have the ability to share it more. So help keep us drone proof. Basically, we're going to be the show people are listening to in 100 years because everyone else is all making YouTube videos and not really worrying that much about the archives. We don't do the YouTube videos. We worry about the archives. So help keep us drone proof. Go to freedomfiends.com and click on the Torrent Club link. So that's a way that people can give back, I would say. I would say that is a 12th step. You are spreading the message. You know, people like activism that's easy. And a lot of people think that just clicking like or share on something on Facebook is activism, but it's really not because it's gone by tomorrow's feed. However, if you are sharing Torrents of the Freedom Fiends, it's not gone by tomorrow's feed. It's like you are spreading it into the 11th dimension and into Alpha Centauri and all over the earth into perpetuity into the next 100,000 years. I don't like to say 1,000 years because it sounds like Hitler and it sounds like Jonathan Edwards Christians, but the next 100 years at least. By then we won't need it. But you know, after 100 years, the Freedom Fiends won't be needed. It'll be taught in history class instead of something you need to listen to on a daily basis. So go on, Ben. Teach us about giving back in the 12th step. What do you got to say, sir?
It'll be taught in voluntary history classes.
No, it'll also be taught in libertarian re-indoctrination centers. I'm kidding.
When we round you up.
I'm kidding.
I should also mention that the website, The Art of Not Being Governed, The Art of Not Being Governed, which is actually...
I'm wearing the t-shirt right now. Oh, actually, I'm sitting on the t-shirt. Being governed. I took it off because I was sweaty. I'm wearing a Fiend Foam t-shirt, but yeah, I was wearing it earlier.
Artofnotbeinggoverned.com also has a complete archive of all the Bad Quaker podcasts. If you go there and you just click on the little link at the top that says Bad Quaker, you can actually access all of the Bad Quaker archives through artofnotbeinggoverned.com. It's really nice of those guys to host that for free, and they just volunteered to do it. It was really nice of them. Great bunch of guys over there. We really appreciate them. So, yeah, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to statists and to practice these principles in all our affairs.
I think we should qualify that term spiritual awakening because it doesn't have to be the blinding white light type. There's a type they talk about in AA. It's basically like the kind agnostics have, which is a spiritual awakening of the educational variety, which is basically, you know, you're not zapped with the hand of God like a lightning bolt. You just kind of learn more and become a different person. It's usually a little slower than the blinding white light kind, but it also, in my experience, for myself and from others, it lasts longer and it's more real.
What is it that they said in that movie, Pulp Fiction? How was it he said that? A moment of clarity?
Yeah, he said, and he's talking about what people have in AA, but he's referring to what he's having himself before he decides to walk the land, which his friend says is, that means becoming a bum.
He's becoming a pilgrim. That takes us back to the first
that's
hour.
That's basically what he was going to do. Walk the earth, become a pilgrim.
But,
the pilgrim thing. AA is said to be based on first century Christianity, which was basically being a pilgrim. It wasn't a crystal cathedral. It wasn't a grand gold gilded room where you were intimidated by the majesty of God. First century Christianity was the 12 disciples. First century Christianity was, you know, selling your coat to buy a sword to go out across the desert to the next town and the next town and the next town and preach a message. And that's what the 12th step is in Status Anonymous. But I would also say temper it with some tell them, don't show them. Tell them or show them you're sober, don't tell them you're sober, as they say in AA, which is kind of like, don't spend very long being the newly minted libertarian shouting from the rooftops to people who don't want to care. Show that you're different in how you behave, and people will come to you and say, you look different. I know you, but you seem different and better somehow. What's going on? Then you can open up to tell them the revelations that you've had.
In other words, walk the walk more than talking the talk.
Yeah, but there's be willing to talk the talk if people ask.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But it only has legs if you're actually walking it out. If you're just flapping your mouth, you know, and you're not doing it, then you're not doing it.
Yeah. And we're flapping our mouth, but people may have not asked, but people are voluntarily listening.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to say they can change the channel, because you're never supposed to say that on radio. That's Radio 1. That's Radio 101. You never suggest that people would even, I don't even want to talk about that, but that's possible. It's impossible. You have to listen to us. Okay, go on, Ben.
You know, there's another thing too, and in my notes here, I put the heartbreak of friends or family who can't break free of statism. Ugh. And we should probably touch that before we get in, you know, before we get out of the 12 steps.
And you don't have to defoo them. You don't have to like throw them under the bus and never talk to them. But I don't know. I've had a pretty easy time with that. Everyone in my family is really smart. I'm the second smartest person in my family. One of my sisters is smarter than me, technically. But everyone in my family is well above average intelligence. But when they started talking to me about Obama and trying to get my sisters tried to get my, you know, 90-something-year-old dad to vote for Obama, even though he's a lifelong Republican. And then they tried it on me for like 1 second. I just shut them down with like a 400-word run-on sentence about Austrian economics and voluntary associations. They haven't brought it up since, man. It was easy.
Yeah, but to keep this in balance, you know, just like what you were saying about your dad, he is never, ever going to get this, because it's going to be so painful for him. He would have to abandon things that are precious to him. And he's got so much of his life invested in building blocks of a series of things that all hold together like a giant stack of, what's the name of that game with the little
Jenga?
Sticks that you pull in?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's like a giant Jenga tower.
Well, that, he calls me every Thanksgiving and talks about the pilgrims and how wonderful they were.
In my dad's past now, but in discussions with him, my dad was so close to being an anarchist that it was just amazing that he wasn't. But he still had this, you know, this little concern that people wouldn't be able to get along with each other without a government overseeing it. And I never forced it on him. I never tried to pin him into a corner where he couldn't get around it, where he had to face things. I always just said, okay, well, Dad, this is how I am, and you know, then we can just move on. And I think in all the times that he and I discussed anarchism, it was a bigger concern to him when I told him that I was a Quaker. It was, you know, I heard Derek the other day talking about when he came out as gay to his family. And it was kind of like that when I came out as a Quaker to my dad. He just kind of froze and looked at me because he didn't really know what Quakers believed. And, you know, and he had like this series of questions. Well, do you still believe in the Bible? Do you believe in Jesus? You know, and it was kind of like almost a mechanical list that he had to go through to satisfy himself that I wasn't going to, you know, do something crazy or join a cult or run off to South America or kill myself or, you know, all the other crazy things that might come over a person's, coming into a person's mind when they're fearful that their child has joined some crazy religious organization. But of course, the wonder of that is that Quakers are not, you don't have to join anything. You don't have to, you know, you don't have to swear allegiance to anything. You don't have to follow a leader. You don't have to give any money to anybody. None of that. You're free of all that. And that's really the joy of being state free also. You don't have to be free of government influence. All you have to do is let go of government. You don't have to send money to some evangelist. You don't have to, you know, join any clubs. You don't have to follow a leader. You just have to set your mind free and realize that's the state. Whatever, however you perceive God, even if you're an atheist, however you perceive the forces that made us what we are, realizing that anarchism is the natural state of the human being. It is what we are when left alone and not dominated by other human beings. It's what we become. It's what every family is when they sit around a dinner table and voluntarily communicate with each other and share love with each other. That's what being state-free is. That's what being having your mind state. That's where it's at.
And you should spread that, especially, and that's the 12th step. You should spread that, especially when you're sitting around having dinner with those status relatives. The government wants you to talk about Obamacare at Thanksgiving. Did you see that message? That was funny.
Yuck.
Ugh.
Yeah. Again, I spit on the ground.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and some of his weird friends. And yes, we're broadcasting this into space.
For some reason in this country, and in most of the Western world, it's okay to just judge.
Hey, this is Michael Dean from the Freedom Fiends radio show. Computer programmer Derek Slopey and I have created FiendPhone. I'm using FiendPhone right now to talk with and record one of my co-hosts in real time. Take it, Davi.
Hey, this is Davi Barker, and I'm 1,000 miles away from Michael, but we sound like we're in the same room.
We sure do, Davi. So, Davi, please tell the nice people more about FiendPhone.
FiendPhone is free, no-gov software that opens up a global world of possibilities for collaborative, high-quality, remote voice media production, and I'm digging it.
People can try FiendPhone right now at FiendPhone.com, but we're also raising money to vastly improve FiendPhone and vastly improve independent talk media worldwide.
So go to FiendPhone.com to help out. Who will build the audio roads? We will, with your help.
That's FiendPhone.com. FiendPhone.com. Foxtrot, Echo, Echo, November, Phone.com.
FiendPhone. I never knew remote audio could be this good.
Redemption in the third act. On step 12 of Status Anonymous, Mr. Ben Stone, the Bad Quaker, and myself, Michael W. Dean. And this is going to be the last of our step study lessons in the Distance Learning Anarchy series. I have a cough drop in my mouth. That's why I sound... a cough drop with benzocaine. It's numbing my throat because it hurts from coughing because I quit vaping. And I'm literally, I have like a quart of vape fluid in my lungs that I didn't really notice that much until I quit vaping. And now it's all coming up and it's horrible and it's making me sicker. But the healing has begun. You got to get sicker before you get better. You got to go through hell to get to heaven. And you got to go through unhealth to get through health when you quit a habit of many decades smoking and then vaping. So Ben is going to talk a little bit more about giving back. And then it's going to set us up for next week, starting on the traditions, which are actually more fun and kind of more interesting, and people don't know that much about them. The steps are for personal recovery, and the traditions are kind of like the constitution of how the group interacts with itself and with other groups and with the members. And it's a voluntary organization, Status Anonymous. So, you know, it's not a government contract you didn't sign. It's you can join and you can leave anytime you want. So we don't even have a website, but we're going to have Chip soon. Jim Jesus is working on him. So give me a little bit more about giving back, Ben.
Yeah. You know, we mentioned earlier in the show that the Freedom Fiends show is all about giving back and not doing it for a reward. Now there's nothing, I'm speaking collectively and I shouldn't, but we don't believe that there's anything wrong with making money. There's nothing wrong with, you know, having a profit and making money, having a job or doing work.
I authorize Ben to speak collectively with me because Ben knows me well enough that he can pretty much say whatever. I hate collectivism, but Ben is one of the few people I will authorize to be my collective agent. Go ahead.
We don't believe that there's anything wrong with making a profit or making money or whatever, but we're not doing the Freedom Fiend show for that purpose. We're not doing it to make a living. We're doing it because we have this message on our heart and we want to share it with as many people freely as possible. And, you know, the flip side of that coin is... Yeah, to keep our own sanity, to get this message out of our brain. And the flip side of that is that there's nothing wrong with giving a donation. There's nothing wrong with getting a donation. There's nothing wrong with any of the donating process. Now I'm going to try to echo what one of our other co-hosts, MK Lords, has said.
So this is the part of the meeting. This is the part of the meeting where Ben passes the basket to pay for the room and the coffee.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, all right, go ahead.
But there's nothing wrong with giving donations and there's nothing wrong with getting donations. But where the problem comes in is when the entitlement thinking infects your brain. Entitlement thinking is poisonous. And it's where you get the idea that because you're sharing these thoughts, people ought to pay you, or they should, or they're stealing from you if they don't pay you or whatever.
I'm honored when I demanding. Get a $2 donation even. I love it.
Oh, yeah. You know, I've stopped taking donations at badquaker.com because we're shutting all that down. But I said that in my last podcast over there, that it was such a thrill to, you know, to get the message in email that somebody gave $2. Wow, cool. Because that's, you know, somebody made that effort and took it out of there. There's nothing at all wrong with giving it or receiving it.
And if people were donating at Bad Quaker and want to donate to something else good, where can they donate, Ben?
They can go to freedomfiends.com and click on any of the spinning circles.
On each post.
Yeah. But I don't want to get this through before we run out of time. This entitlement thinking is poisonous to the brain, and it actually alters your message. It makes you think that you have some kind of right to other people's wealth, and if they don't give it to you, then it taints your message. And that's really backwards. My encouragement to anybody who's wanting to get into media or get into sharing these thoughts about anti-statism or about being free from the state, don't do it because you want, because you think you can make a living off of it. Do it because it's out of the abundance of your heart to do it.
Absolutely. And that is the 12th step of Status Anonymous, is giving back freely, regardless of whether you're given anything for doing it. And Ben is very giving of his time and his knowledge and his wisdom, and I appreciate that. And people should go to freedomfiends.com and click on the Torrent Club link and start seeding the Bad Quaker torrents, as well as the Freedom Fiends torrents, please, to help give back into perpetuity and into the 11th dimension and on to Alpha Centauri. Then, that's my Howard Dean imitation. First, we're going to go to the 11th dimension, and we're going to go to Alpha Centauri.
Great subject to the bondage of your corruption!